One pasuk. We are in the middle of pasuk. Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Again, Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Matoymri Ki Yifkoit Alayich. What are you going to say? This pasuk was addressed to either the king, to Yehoyachin and his wife, or Yehoyachin and his mother, or to Tzidkiyahu and his wife, or to Eliakim and his wife. But the question over here is, when we talk to the kings, what are you going to say, Ki Yifkoit Alayich, when we learned in the Radak and in the Rashi and the Mitzudos, this means one of two things: either when Hashem punishes you, or Ki Yifkoit Alayich is when Nebuchadnezzar comes for a visit. And his visit obviously is not a very pleasant visit, it's a visit of destruction. You will have no one to blame but yourself. The at, it is you, limadit oisam, you have accustomed them, alayich, upon yourself. Alufim l'rosh, you have made them your leaders, your chief and a head. A leader, but two words which go together, which means to be the leader, your leaders. And therefore, as a consequence for your own actions, haloi chavolim yoichezuch, you will be overtaken by birth pangs, kimo eishes leda, like a woman who is in childbirth. So we learned yesterday that what does it mean over here that you have accustomed these people to come upon you? So we learned the Mitzudos, the Radak, Rashi. It can mean one of many things. It can mean to in reference to Nebuchadnezzar. We have to go back to the time of Chizkiyahu when he invited Meroidach Baladon to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and to take a look at the Luchos, Kol Beis Nechos. So therefore, since you have invited the grandfather or the father of the Nebuchadnezzar years ago, that is why you made him comfortable. You want to show him what's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Hashem says, good, so gesund to hate. Let him have whatever is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Let him have the whole Beis HaMikdash. We learned another interpretation that this refers, this goes back to the time of, before Ochas, when there was a civil war between the Melech of Yehud and the Melech of Yisrael, and you invited Melech Ashur, you invited him to come into the land to help you prevent the enemy to fight your civil war, to wage war against the Melech of Yisrael. And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a very grave sin. It's bad enough that there's a civil war in Klal Yisrael, but how dare you invite foreign nations to come and fight your battle, to fight against your own brother. Okay, there are other examples, but the meaning we learned yesterday, we discussed all different possibilities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset that we have accustomed these people to come into our land, and therefore now we're going to suffer the consequences. There is one thing that we did not mention, that's the Medrash, and the Medrash says that this is a pasuk criticizing, it's shaykh to say, Yaakov Avinu, Hashem announced, V'rav Ya'avoid Tzoir, the older brother shall serve the younger brother, which simply means that Esav, who is older, shall be a servant to Yaakov Avinu, and therefore Yaakov should have nothing to fear when he comes in contact with Esav. Yet we know very well that when Yaakov was coming back to visit his father in Canaan after spending 20 years at Lavan, he got word that Esav is traveling. Esav is nearby, he's in the vicinity. And the Medrash says that Esav was not even planning to come and cross paths with Yaakov Avinu. He just happened to be there in the region. And Yaakov was terrified that he may come in contact with Esav, so he sent him gifts. Like that's the beginning of Parashas Vayishlach. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Aleisav Achiv. And he went on to go say all the different things. He divided his family into two parts, and he sent gifts, and he was mispalel. And then when he actually met, he bowed down seven times. So the Medrash applies this pasuk to the event, to the beginning of Parashas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu, what are you doing? Why are you going overboard and humbling yourself before your brother Esav, Esav is supposed to be your servant, not the other way around. Why are you bowing down to him seven times? Therefore, Hashem says to Yaakov, Matoimri, what are you going to say to me, Yaakov Avinu? Ki yifkod alayich. When the day of reckoning comes, when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, not one Beis Hamikdash, as I mentioned many times, the seven Mishkanos, seven Mikdashos, Wacharaf, Mishkan, Gilgal, Noiv, Givoin, Shiloh came first, Bayis Rishon, Bayis Sheni, all of this alluded to in the very first Kina on Tisha B'Av. What are you going to say to me when all of these Mikdashos, Mishkanos, Acharav, due to the influence of the enemy, even though in those situations it was not necessarily Esav, it was our sin, it was the Pelishtim, it was other nations, whatever the situation was, but what?
Here, in the immediate present.
Yeah.
It's not
Esau. It's Nebuchadnezzar. It's a different Golos.
So
it's to go.
Might be the trigger for saying this.
Yeah.
Because the word Alufim.
Alufim is Esau. Aluf.
So there could be the trigger for.
There are 11 Alufim. Right? There are 11 Alufim in the parsha by Yishlach. So therefore, what are you going to say? You have no one to blame but yourself by being too good. And this is very interesting. Kadimun Musar is that you got to always have a balance. Every time you're dealing with a situation, there's always respect, there's humility. But everyone, when the day is over, you have to know your place. That really is a very difficult balance in life. To be nice, but don't let the other person get the better of you. Let's go to the next pasuk. A lot of these psukim there aren't too many midrashim, so we'll try to run through it a little bit quicker. Pasuk chav beis dechi saimu bilvavech madua kiruuni ele. When you'll say in your heart, you'll say to yourself, why have these terrible, horrible tragedies overcome me? Beroiv avoinech. It is the answer to that question is, I mean, this is very obvious, but beroiv avoinech, it's due to the abundance of your sins. Here's a new idea. Niglu shulayich, the bottom of your hem has been exposed. Nech nisu means to uncover it. Akevoyich, your heels. Now this was, let's right away see over here in the Mitzudos, David, what this means. This was an ancient custom that we're totally not familiar with. Maybe you can find this online in some ancient custom, is that when a woman was found to be guilty of adultery, of lewdness, of some type of relationship that's not proper, so she was ashamed. She was put to shame publicly. And the way that was done was, there are different interpretations, either they took off her clothing, which is very bizarre to us. I mean, they would remove her clothing. She would be naked, and it would be a great shame. Or what it means is they would take her clothing and have her put them on upside down and inside out. And when she would walk around in the street with her clothing upside down, have a skirt upside down or a blouse, whatever it is upside down, it draws attention.
Inside out, not upside down.
So let's see. We'll see what it says over here in Mefarshim. Yeah, upside down, inside out, and that right away was basically like a sign. This woman is a zona. She is a harlot. She is a zona. What's a scarlet letter? It's a very famous book. Right, it was a very famous book.
They put an A on her.
Just like they put an A. Right, I remember.
She had to walk around with this.
Right, there was a book. We used to have to read that book. Right, my mother used to tell me about that. What? Right. Yes, I never read. It's a very famous book. Used to in high school, you had to read that book. In this generation, I don't think they read that book, right?
Yes, they do.
Depends where.
Depends where. Okay. Depends. Okay. Okay, but times have changed. Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Okay, I have to confess, I never got that far. Okay, let's see what it says here in the Mitzudos. You'll come to think in your mind, why have these terrible tragedies overcome me? Halloy, the answer is, due to your great sins, this great bezoyon, this disgrace has come to you. Here's the case. This is very interesting. Ki isha zoyna shemafshitin chaluka. They strip her of her garment. Umahabchin milamata lamala. Now, what does that mean? Yerushalmi. Maybe it means inside out. B'lamat, maybe. Or maybe it means upside down. Derech bezoya. Okay, the clothing is worn in an unusual fashion, which is a sign. Umegalim shulei hachaluk, and they expose the hem of her garment. Behagbohosa klapei maila, they expose her. Today you would say it's not snias. Right, so what does this mean exactly? I do not know. But obviously this was a custom that was done in ancient times, and therefore that's what Hashem is telling Yirmiyahu, what is going to happen to Klal Yisrael. They're going to be exposed. They're going to be publicly put to shame. Nechmesu akov akevayich, your heels will be uncovered. Exposed. Ikve raglayich, the heels of your feet in this galu will be exposed. V'hushu min hakesushu ashaleim, will be removed from the clothing that is upon them. In other words, return to Laimar. Your feet will be exposed, your heels will be exposed, you'll be put to shame. Since Klal Yisrael is compared to a Zoyna, therefore we give different examples that refer to a Zoyna, Shemafshitin Chalukah. We remove her clothing. We have her march in public naked, and barefoot. This was some type of punishment that was common in ancient times. Look, you know, we have by a Tamar. Tamar, there's a very popular chizkuni. When Tamar was, it was discovered that Tamar was pregnant, how in the world is she pregnant? Her two husbands died. Erva Onan died. And Yehuda did not give her to Shelah. So how in the world did she get pregnant? So there's only one way. She was Mizaneh. And such a chash of a woman, she was married to Yehuda. I mean, she was married to Yehuda's daughter-in-law. So it was a disgrace to the family. Yehuda, who was such a distinguished person, so he gave the command, Hotzi Uha Visi Sareth. Take her out and have her burnt. Have her burned. Burned what? Burned at the stake, right? Isn't that what it simply means? Right. Put it, in fact, that's the halacha sreifa. That if a bas koyein is mizaneh, what is the halacha? A regular woman is mizaneh, she gets chenek. But if a bas koyein is mizaneh, she gets sreifa. So here also, holds two of this. So they pour, right? They pour lead. They pour lead down, molten lead down her throat. Yeah. So that's called sreifa. What?
Burning like at a stake.
Right. So what does it mean? We don't know. The pre-Matan Torah, we have really no clue. What does it mean? When it says there in the Pasuk, Hotzi uha v'si saref, does it mean they poured molten lead down her throat? Or does it mean literally they burnt her at the stake like the Goyim did in the medieval ages? So the Chizkuni says none of the above. Famous Chizkuni, it means they branded her. The sreifa means a branding iron, and it was a special branding iron the Beis Din had that said Zona, or it said some other, had some letter, some symbol, and they branded her forehead. And it was a sign, and it's something you can't remove. It's permanently there. It's permanently a permanent mark on your flesh, on your head, your cheek, your head, and wherever what?
Right.
Hashem did the kind. Hashem put an os on Kain. It doesn't say exactly how Hashem put the os on Kain, but here it says the hotzio v'si soreif, put a permanent mark on her body, on the outside part of her body, that people should see forever that this woman is a zona. It does not mean that she should actually be put to death, because after all, she wasn't married. You want to go see some lomdis that she's a shemeres yavam, she's a kukul liyivam, and therefore, like Rabbi Akiva that says a shemeres yavam is kukul liyivam, she's a chayv koris and she's a mamzer, not chayv koris, a mamzer. Okay, that's a little tifa lomdis, a little bit too much lomdis. I think pshat the pasuk, it means she did a crime. She's not an ashes ish. She doesn't have to be put to death, but at the very least, she did something that is not proper, so they would brand her as a sign. That's similar to what's over here in this concept over here, the same concept over here, the woman is a zona. They did things to her in ancient times to put her to shame in public.
That's the same thing you do with a sofa.
A sota, she's a sota.
Clothes,
they rip off her clothing, they expose her, and they uncover her hair, and they give her a drink. That's right. So they also expose her in the Beis HaMikdash. All right, let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk chav beis. There is Rashi shulayich shipuli habagadim shlach, means that you're going to expose niglu shulayich, which is the bottom. The bottom what? Your ankles. It means the hem of your garments. Now tish. Or lish belaz. What is that? A tish? A Shabbos? What's a tish?
It's not tish.
It's Yiddish.
Your hems.
Your hems, okay. Shemashitin es ha'isha derech b'zayon. They expose the woman derech b'zayon. Mehapken chaluka melamat lemala. They turn the garb, the clothing upside down. Nech nesu akevoich. Your heels have been uncovered. Nigzeru derechayich. They've been cut down. So he's translating the pasuk a little bit differently. I told translate nech mesuta means to uncover. If you look, in fact, in the Mitsudos Tzion, he translates it inyan hasoro, to remove. The Rashi says nigzuru. Vayachmos, they were cut down. Cut down, cut off, kigan, like a garden, suko, its branch. Like a garden, you have in a garden branches of a tree, you cut down the branches, so he's there for you, your heels have been cut down. Akevayich, pasku, oivrei derochim, your heels is a metaphor for people that walk on the roads. For people, no one's going to travel any longer on the roads of Yerushalayim, on the roads of Eretz Yisrael, because the whole city has been cut down. So it's a little bit different than David. It's not referring to the person; it's referring to Yerushalayim as a whole. Is that no one's going to come visit? No one's going to travel on the roads of Eretz Yisrael. Let us see the Radak in Pasuk Habez V'Chisaymu Niglu Shulayich. Shulei habegadim, the lower portion of the hem of the garment, hem ha'ehem, hem ha'tachtonim, uchishi habchu l'mala, and when you turn the garment upside down, hinei hem niglim, ve'alavush nigles, so the garment is exposed, or the person is exposed, and the garment is exposed. V'chein o'omar, ve'galoisi shuleich alponayich, another pasuk, which means I will expose the lower portion of your garment on your face. Same idea, you're going to be put to shame by being stripped naked. V'hinei, achar she'abchu ha'shuleim ha'akovim, niglum, after you turn upside down, the heels of the person are exposed. Okay, next, nech mesu, v'radak, is translating the word the same as the mitsudos. Kemo niglu. Kemo vayachmos. Kagan suko. He takes the same word, and here he says there also. It does not mean to be cut down its branch, but it means suko means its branch. It means to be exposed. Vayagleim. Vezehu moshal kineses Yisrael. This pasuk is a moshal. Shehoisa nisteres tachas kanfei hokel. Venichbedes be'artza. It was took shelter underneath Hashem's protection, and it was honored in its land. The Ata, now he goyla, now it's going to be exposed. The Husar Sisra Me'oleha, and its shelter, Sisra Me'oleha, its shelter is going to be removed from above it. The Nehi Geluya, she is now exposed to the nations of the world. The Nigle Kolayna, her shame is exposed, Le'en Kol, to all the Arzos Nochrim in foreign nations. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk, and this pasuk indeed is a very famous pasuk. A lot of very famous psukim in Yirmiyah. Pasuk over here says, Hayafoich, Kushi Oiroi. Is it possible for a Kushi, an Ethiopian, someone whose skin is black, can he change the color of his skin?
Michael Jackson
changed all of his skin?
Well, he tried.
How? How did he try? With makeup? What?
He bleached his skin?
Why? Black Lives Matter, no?
No, not in those days.
Hayapoch Kushi Oiroi. Can the Kushi change the color of his skin? Now here is a word, two words which are subject to interpretation. Well, to translate it, the simple translation is v'nomer chavar burosof, a leopard. A nomer is a leopard. It's always part of the list. Can it change its spots? Can a leopard go and say, I don't want my spots anymore, I want to just have a plain, simple color, one colored skin? Impossible. That's your DNA. That's the way Hashem made you. There's no change. So here he's giving very, very powerful mussar. Hashem is saying to Klal Yisrael, you're beyond repair. There's no hope for you. Gamatem tuchlu lehetev. If in the same way that a kushi will turn white and an omer will be able to remove its spots, when that day comes, so to Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Gam atem tuchul lehetiv, so to you will be able to do good, you evil people who are limudei horea, who are accustomed to doing evil. This is one of the harshest psukim in Tanakh. Every pasuk in Tanakh, there's always hope. There's always some silver lining. There's always some Hashem saying, do tshuva, don't become like this. This pasuk at face value is a statement. Hashem is basically saying, you're beyond the point of return. The day when grass will grow on my palm will be the day when such and such happens. How
often did he preach? I mean, he didn't go through this in one shot. It was over a period of years.
How many years did he preach? For 40? I think 40 years. 40 years.
Basically, if you think about it, the theme is redundant. He's over and over.
The whole sefer is redundant. It's over and over.
He got fed up with it.
It's over. How many ways can you say the same thing? The whole sefer is redundant. We're going to have so. It's going to get a little more different. It's going to get some more interesting. We're going to have a lot of stories soon.
It's not necessarily one monologue.
Can we have to remember this is
traveled in a collection of things.
Right.
So you could have said one thing, spoke with heaven.
Right. It's not a narrative.
This took place over 40 years. Yirmiyah was equal to Moshe Rabbeinu. There are many parallels. We'll discuss it later on today. Yirmiyah and Moshe had many, many similarities. Moshe Rabbeinu, he led Klal Yisrael for 40 years, from the age 80 to 120. Yirmiyah, likewise, he gave Musar to Klal Yisrael for 40 years, until from the 13th year of Yehoyakim to the first year of Koresh, when Koresh came to power, the Melech of Persia came to power. So that was an exactly 40-year period of time, and this pasuk was set at some point in time. Okay, let's see what it says in the Metzilus in regard to this pasuk, this very famous pasuk, pasuk of Gimel. Hayapoich im yuchal lahakushi lahapoich ayway mishichrus lilovan. Can he change his skin from black to white? The spots on his skin, to remove them. Impossible. This cannot possibly happen. This is something that is natural. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that you have done to yourself irreparable harm. You have accustomed yourself to evil to such a point where it's now part of your DNA. Gam atem, gam kein, gam atem lo tuchlu lehetiv mipnei hahergol hara, shatem mugolim, which you have accustomed yourself to, v'nase etz lechem kidavar tivi, it's natural for you. Ritzon Eloi, mar kamosh ein akushi. What?
That's a really extreme.
As I said, this pasuk is from the most
extreme.
Never repent.
But it's not supposed to be in our nature.
In nature. It's supposed to be something that is foreign to us. And here it says, Lumudei Horea. It's become natural. Natural. So let's see what's over here. The same way they cannot change their nature. Kain gam atem, you cannot change your nature. For inyan guzma vehaflaga. So here the Mitsudos obviously is very disturbed, and that Hashem would say such a thing which should be taken literally, and therefore he says, don't take this seriously. Hashem is just trying to express his frustration. The loymar bekoshi raf, there's always hope. Because she rav tishtanu mima asechem, through great difficulty. What?
But according to the pasuk, there isn't any.
That's what he's saying. Don't take it literally.
You have to look at the bigger picture. Since we have a tradition, since we have all of it chazal. It's a very good point. It's a very big problem. It is a very big problem. But that's what.
This is the pasuk, by the way, that the Abarbanel quotes with by the Daber Miriam Yaron all of those who are Kushis Hakushis.
Hakushis.
Why does it say Ki Yishol Kushis Lokov? Because the leopard doesn't change his spots. He married her, she was a Shvarzi, she didn't change.
Yeah.
He quotes, you know, he says, that's it. I mean, in other words, he says that basically Moshe was embarrassed by Oasis. So what did he think? She's going to be different now. He doesn't live with her because he's embarrassed now that he's living with her child. She was when he married her. She couldn't change.
She didn't change. That's why she focused on the Kushis.
Yeah,
all right, let's see Rashi. Rashi Chav Gimel says Kushi Shem Adam Shachor. A Kushi we always translate as an Ethiopian. A man who is dark.
It's a label for a
black man. Person. The Koran, what is that word?
Moor. It's like the Moors. Moors.
Who are the Moors?
Spain.
So they were black?
They were black.
They are black. Okay. The Koran, Moor Balas. They where do they come from, the Moors? Did they come from
North Africa?
Did they come? Okay. Okay, next, the number is leprat, a leopard balas. Chabar b'roisav, ha-namer menumer, who the number of the leopard is spotted. Ve'heim ha-chabar b'ros, this is his spots. And what's that word? Tekesh balas. Tekesh, it must be spots, right?
Yeah.
Tash. Spots, the EF shal sheyehofchu, it's impossible for them to be changed. Horea, tumo lihorea, limude lihorea. You have accustomed yourself to be evil. Let's look at the Radak. The Radak, pasik chav gimul hayafoch v'chidavar tibihu hashachrus b'kushi. It is natural. It is something that is natural, the darkness in the kushi, the enu dover mikrin. It's not a chance. It's not an accident that a kushi is black. This is the way Hashem made it. Hashem made it. The lo yosum in mimenu lilum cannot be removed forever. V'chein ha-chabar buros ba-namer, the spots in the leopard. Kein harosha lo yuchal lo sur mekem, the wicked cannot depart. Ki'ilu hu tivi b'chem, and it's become your nature. That's the nature of a rosha. Kol kach limadetem v'hargaltem atzmechem b'maseh hara. You have accustomed yourself to do averos. Ad sheshov etzlechem kidabar tivi, until it has reached the point now where it's natural. Limudei kimo limud midavar murgol accustom. Horea is makar. This is the source of the word, the shoresh. Kimo vim horea toreu. This word is the actual shoresh. Horea is evil. Kimo horea toreu. Lashonko also comes from the word ra, but there's another word that's part of the shoresh. The Yonasan Tirgim Kushi Hindua. Kushi is not a Moor, it is a Hindu, it is Ethiopia. Someone from Ethiopia, that's where they come from. Chababurosov, Kisamov, it means spots. The other center game, Shalte Mikrose means, I think also means also spots. It's the same idea. I think that's what it means. Okay, now there's another very important Gemara. The Gemara, now I'm not exactly sure what the Gemara means. I don't know the Gemara, but the Gemara talks about a halach on Shabbos. That if a person injures, a person hits someone and causes that person to bleed, he's chayiv misa for a chabura. And a person, if one person inflicts a chabura in his fellow man, or for that matter in himself, for the purpose of inflicting a chabura, it cannot be a melacha shenichach legufa. But a person intentionally wants there to be a chabura, that's a chiyuv misa. And the Gemara wants to understand what exactly is the nature of a chabura. What happens if, now again, I'm not exactly sure what this
on Shabbos.
Blood comes out. If blood comes out, the person makes a wound in his body for the purpose, because he wants there to be a wound. He wants there for whatever. What?
Wants to hurt.
No, but wanting to hurt him, making a wound because you want to hurt him is not necessarily melacha deraisa. I want to cause him pain. The fact that he has a wound and he's bleeding, that's a sign that's a byproduct of what my real intent is. My intent is to beat up this person, to put him in his place, to cause him pain. It just so happens that as a byproduct of beating him up, he's full of blood. He's full of blood and he has wounds on his body. So it may very well be that hitting a person, getting into a fight, is not a melacha deraisa. But for whatever bizarre reason, the person wants to actually have a wound. He wants there to be a wound, not because of medical reasons, not because of to relieve some type of cyst, whatever it is. He wants there to be a wound. I don't know why. He's chayiv melacha deraisa of a melacha deraisa of chabura. Now, if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara means the only chayiv deraisa if it's a permanent wound. If the wound is, there'll be a permanent scar from this wound forever, for the rest of the person's life. If a person creates in his body a type of wound, even though the blood has come forth and it's not going to be permanent, it's going to heal. I don't know the parameters, how long it has to heal. It seems from the Gemara, don't quote me, l'halacha l'maisa, we have to study the Gemara more, it's not an iser echiv de'oiraisa. And the Gemara cites this pasuk as a source for this halacha, and the process of doing so, the Gemara has a new, novel interpretation of what this pasuk means. A chabar burosav does not mean, according to the Gemara, a spot, a colored spot of a leopard. And nomer does not mean a leopard. Because if nomer meant a leopard and chavar burosav meant spots, it would be proper for the pasuk to say, a nomer me gavosav. A leopard from his colors. There's a better word the pasuk could have used. Let me turn to the page. Yeah, 1 second. This is the end of Yud Gimel. Givonov. It should say Yahap. It should say Nomer. Gavonov. Gavonov means his colors. His hues, colors, and that is meant to refer, that refers to his spots. That would have been a better word, a more accurate word to describe the colored spots of a leopard. The fact the pasuk does not do so indicates there's something deeper being taught to us in this pasuk, and chaburosav means a wound, a blemish, and a nomer is related to the word tamura. Tamura means to exchange. To exchange. And therefore the pasuk of here means, can a human being, can this kushi that we're referring to, can he nomer, can he remove? Exchange means exchange the flesh that has been damaged, that is wounded, in which blood is coming forth, which is scarred, for flesh that is smooth and clean, that does not show any signs of damage, of injury. And read the pasuk. Pasuk means, I mean, let me just go back to the pasuk. Hayafoich kushi oiroi, can a kushi change the color of his skin? The nomer, can he exchange? It's the word nomer is basically a synonym in this pasuk for yahafoich, to exchange. Can he exchange chavar burosav, his wounds? Can he remove from his skin the scars? The answer is no. A scar is a scar, and there's nothing you can do to remove that scar. That's just the way it is. So too Hashem says, Gam atem tuchlu heitiv limudei horeya, so too you there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to remove from you the limudei horeya, to remove from you the sins that you have accustomed yourself to. So therefore, according to the Gemara over here is a whole new interpretation. We're not dealing with a leper, we're dealing with a mere wound. Now, what's interesting about this is that you know, we talk about this, you could go ask scientists, is it true that, how did Kushim become black? So there's a very big debate about this. Is this the way they were created? Everyone came from Adam Arisha. Was Adam black? Or white? He was. I don't know. We don't know Adam or Rishon. No.
All of the above.
We have no clue. But people who believe that we can synthesize some of the ideas of evolution with Yadus will tell you that human beings, due to their environment and their conditions, evolve. And the fact that the Ethiopians live in an area in the world which is scorching hot, and they're under the sun.
Malm says that.
So the Kushim started out white. They started out white, living in a land that's scorching hot, being baked by the sun day and night over 5,000 years. has changed the color of their skin. There is something to this. We all do know that animals and human beings, they adapt to their environment. This there is something to them. I mean, this is very, you have to be very careful, because you go too far with this, it's apicursis. Man did not come from a monkey. But there is some truth to this concept that a human being adapts over centuries to the conditions of his environment. Now that idea fits very well into this pasuk, especially when you take a big one. What about a leopard? A leopard has beautiful spots. It's not likely to say those spots came about because it adapted to its environment. That does not sit well. That lechera leopard was born with multicolored.
That's the way the Malam learns. The Malam learns. Right. He says, even if you're going to say that Kushi. Maybe it's not natural, and if he lived up north, he would be white.
But it's too late. At this point in time, it's too late.
Well, no, but in Amara, yeah. You never change the spots. That is not.
Right.
In other words, even if you could try to finesse the first part of the
pasuk. Uh-huh. And say what? That a Kushi can go back to becoming white?
That a Kushi can go back.
He's living in the Mahalach. Okay, right. Fine. But a Namer can never take it. Okay. I want to say a little bit. Okay, I just want to focus it on a different angle. Is that both? We're comparing here. The end of the pasuk is critical. The pasuk over here says you cannot repair the damage you've done to your neshamas. There is no question that the neshama shenasat to be tahirahi. The neshama started out as being pure, being tar. We have damaged our neshama through doing an avera. We started out one way, and we have evolved into a new person through chet. And that is the nimshal for the mashal. So the mashal has to match. So if you're going to say that the Kushi was born from day one in creation as being black, and the Namer was born from day one being with spots, the mashal and the nimshal are not equivalent. Because the mashal is something which is pure nature, and the nimshal refers to Klal Yisrael who started out being tzaddikim, having pure neshamos, and now have damaged their neshama, brought damage upon, permanent damage, where now they're in a situation where they can no longer go back to the original state. Okay, it's true, but it's not a perfect mashal. But if you learn that a Kushi did not start out in this world as being black, the Kushi started out in this world as being white. And due to the environment, due to the situation that he put himself in, being in such an environment, he turned black. And now, it's very well what the Gemara says, a person, when he came out of his mother's womb, certainly did not have scars on his body. He had smooth, healthy, clear skin. And only due to his negligence and due to his activities did he inflict upon his body scars. So he brought it upon himself. And now both the Kushi and the Namer and the person that has scars are now finding themselves in a situation that's beyond repair. Only due to their actions. Only due to the situation they put themselves in. That's a perfect match for the Nimshal. Neshama shenasat be tohoirihi. You've taken your neshama limude horeya. You have accustomed yourself to do averos. So the Gemara really is doing us a very big favor, because the Gemara over here is coming to give a new shot in the pasuk simul pshutushal mikra, which now allows the mashal to be an exact equivalent to the nimshal. If you take the pasuk the way it is, so maybe you can finesse the Kushi, but you can't really finesse the namer, because the namer lechoira, that's the way the zebra was born. With stripes. Okay, that's the way it is. What?
Baby.
Okay, that's a different. We're not talking about. We're talking about healthy, normal.
No, but you know, people.
Okay, so that's a hashkafic issue. That's a hashkafic issue. Why? Why?
Scientifically, 5,000 years is not enough to really.
Is it not really? Do we really know that? All right, that you have to talk to a scientist. You have to really, do they even know? Is there a possible carbon dating? These are all mysteries. The Gemara says, the Gemara talks about people who live in different parts of the world, they have different features. Their eyes are to save them because of their environment. Because their sand and their feet are a certain way in order they can walk on the sand.
Is that speculation?
The Gemara makes no. So when the Gemara says this, does the Gemara mean that they have adapted, or Hashem made them like this in order to survive their environment?
But on matters of science, we don't necessarily take
everything Chazal says as...
Okay, this is some of the big mysteries, the big debates. Let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Chav Dal. Hashem says, "Vafitzem ki kash oiver." I'm going to disperse. I'm going to scatter you out to the entire world like straw, just like straw stubble. When you put it in the wind, it blows far and disappears to who knows where. Ki kash oiver leruach midbar, into the wind that blows into the desert. Next pasuk. Let's do one more few psukim together. Pasuk Chafe Ze Goyrolech. This is your lot. This is what you deserve. Minos mi daich. It is the portion, your measured portion. This is your destiny. Your measured portion for all of your sins. Me'iti from me, Nu'um Hashem, so says Hashem, Asher shochacht, I see you have forgotten me. Vatiftechi bashoker, you have put your confidence in falsehood. Pasuk Chavav, another pasuk. V'gamani chosafti shulayich, again this theme, I am going to uncover shulayich al ponayich. I'm going to uncover your hems upon your ponim, meaning I'm going to turn it upside down. V'nire kiloinech, and your shame will be exposed. Let's do these psukim together, starting with pasuk Chav Dalet. I'm going to disperse you. I'm going to disperse you in Egypt. Just like when you winnow grain and you throw up the chaff blows away into the wind. That comes from the side of the midbar. There's nothing going to be there to hold back the wind from blowing. Now notice over here it says, I'm going to disperse you b'mitzrayim. The Mitzrayim, what am I? I thought we were going to Bavel. I thought here we're going to Bavel. What does it mean that we're going over here to Mitzrayim? So I'm not really, really clear. At what point did they go to Mitzrayim? They only went to Mitzrayim. The only ones who went to Mitzrayim were the last survivors after the Churban, after the assassination of Gedaliah ben Achikam. When the Churban was complete, and Gedaliah ben Achim was appointed by Nebuchadnezzar to serve the She'eris HaPleita, the few hundred Jews that were left over, and then he was assassinated. The Jews were afraid for their lives. When the government would find out that they killed their leader, they would all be killed, so they fled to Egypt. That's a whole episode in and of itself. But I'm not sure over here what the mitzvah means, that you're going to be dispersed to Egypt. Pasuk Hafei, Ze Garalech, Ze Hagmul Yel Chelchad, this is going to be your due. Ze Hamone, Hanit and Lucha Meiti, Mida Bemida, Alasha Shachacht Osi, Uvotacht Bemitzrayim, Shehi Sheker. You put your confidence in Egypt, and you assumed, you had belief that they would come to your aid to protect you from Nebuchadnezzar. Therefore, I'm going to forget you. If you forgot about me, Hashem says, I'm going to forget about you. Next, gam ani chasafti shulech. Here's a repetition. This pasuk goes back to what it said before, what we started with today. Gam ani chasafti shulech. I'm going to expose your hems. Ritzon alaymar al ki zoniso achrei avoidas koychavim umazolois, in punishment for worshipping idols. L'chein therefore av yolayach bezoyon rav. I'm going to bring upon you great shame. Kiderech shem vazinas azoyna olafi shem shloisa lazoyna amal shem bezoyna azoyna. We had exactly the same before. They strip her naked, and they turn her garments upside down, inside out, and they expose the hems of her garment when they lift it up, when they lift it up to her head to remove her garment. Your shame will be exposed. Your shame will be exposed to all to see. Rashi, Pasik Chof Dalit, there is none Chof Hei, Menas Midayich, Chelek Midoy Sayich, the portion, your measured portion. Mida Kineged Mida, it's a very beautiful expression. Mida Kineged Mida, Menas Midayich means, it's the way the Torah refers to this concept that we have in Chazal over and over, measure for measure. Chosafti Shulayich Gilisi Shipulei Begodayich Lahabcham Alponech, I'm going to remove your clothing, I'm going to take the hem and pull it up to your head. In other words, I'm going to take off your clothing, I'm going to put you to shame. Okay, let's see. The Radak, Pasik Chof Dalit, the Afitzeim, Lefichach Af offits, or some I'm going to disperse them, mehira bikalus, swiftly. Kekash, oiver, leruach, like chaff that blows quickly swept away into the desert. Perush, kekash, just like straw, stubble, shahu, oiver, mehira, bavur, haruach, shanashem espo. Likewise, afit, same midbar, I'm going to disperse you into the desert. Kaloimar, otsiyem, me arayhem, umakam, rachok, mekumar, midbar. Gam yesh midbar bein Yerushalayim uBavel. There is a desert between Yerushalayim and Bavel. Notice that the Radak did not say you're going to go into Egypt. Radak says you're going to go into the desert, which is on the way to Bavel. Ze garalech minos midayich moy milosayich. Your measure, o ye midah mechubah b'loshon zucharim. So, or we're going to attach to b'loshon zucharim v'loshon nikevos. That this word midosayich can be used both masculine and feminine. K'may arba pinoy sav. Like in other words, midos pino midos modayich is midayich is masculine, and midos sayich with a soft would be feminine. So he's telling us that do not get confused, even though you may expect in the laws of grammar that it should be in the feminine form midos sayich. Don't worry, the word can be used both ways. O yim midah mechubar b'loshon zuchorim u'v'loshon nikevos. That this word can be used both ways, and he brings a proof, arba pino sav. Like we have another pasuk, I don't know what he means, v'yikboitz, but I don't know.
Pino sav, it's also a word like that.
Pino.
Pino, right.
Pino would be masculine, and pino sav with a sof would be feminine. V'yikboitz b'loshon zicharim, and the word yikboitz, k'moshar, and it can be used as a v'yikubutz. And when you change the vowels, b'loshon zicharim, k'moshar ha-pinim, it becomes a kubutz. That's in other words, it turns a chirik. What we call a chirik, he calls a kubutz. So the word pinosav turns into pinin. The nun turns from a cholam pinosav to pinin with a ki, with what we call a chirik, which he calls here the kubutz. A kubutz is the equivalent of what we of the Radak's way of calling a chirik.
Is that a quotation?
Shar hapinim.
Yeah.
It's a pasuk.
It's not shar hapinim.
No, hapinim. I have the luxury. I have a Mercedes here. I have the art scroll, and it has here. And every time it quotes a pasuk, it has the vowels. So it quotes a pasuk in Zechariah, and there it says pinim. And I think what the Radak means here is that the vowels change depending on the context, how the word is being used. If it's zohar or nekeva.
It is unusual.
Ken yema min. Mida, midos, v'yoymar midim. We have mida, which is masculine. Midos is feminine. V'yoymar midim, and you can say midim in plural. Umimenu midayich, and the word midim that's with the mem at the end turns into midayich. Upeirusha b'midos shemodedes midadi loch. We have a long lesson here on grammar. Es shachta oisi v'ani shachta osach. Mida keneged mida, you have forgotten me. Mida keneged mida, I have forgotten you. You have turned to me the back of your head and not the front of your head. Therefore, I'm going to turn my face away from you. You're going to be consumed by your enemy. And it will overcome you. Tsaros. What? Umitzuch. Saros, rabos, viraos, it will come upon you, great tragedy. This is your portion, your lot, and your punishment from me, due to my anger. The gamani, mvurhu, this already was explained in the previous psukim about the hem. I don't know why it's repeating it again, but it's explained in the previous pasuk. Okay, next pasuk, last pasuk of the parak. The parak includes, ni ufayich, your adultery. Your act of adultery. Umitz haloisayich. We had this before in the beginning, in the middle of the Sefer. Before we had this, it means your neighing. This is a term that is borrowed from a horse. Every animal has a unique expression, and the unique expression is used in reference to every animal when it gives off sound. A horse is called tsahola. And here, umitz haloisayich, and we learn
the only use of the word tsahola.
Sahala v'samecha, but when we talk about a horse giving a neigh, the word is the tsahalas susim, and here we learn this means that a horse after it has relations with a female horse, when they have relations, the horses it gives off a sound of satisfaction. So here we borrow that expression that the sin of adultery was in Hashem's eyes is a kizimras susim zimrasam. When Chazal referred to the ultimate act of zima, it uses expressions that are found by horses, because horses in Chazal's eyes, in the Torah's eyes, it represents the greatest bal taiva in this specific matter of arayos. And therefore we're borrowing from the term of a horse, who mitz halosayich, your expression, your satisfaction of committing adultery is equivalent, is zima, period. Zima zinu seich. The zimas means the plan. The plans of your acts of adultery can be found al givaos basadeh, upon the hills in the field. Ro'isi shikut soich, I have seen your abominations. Oy loch Yerushalayim, woe to Yerushalayim. Lo sit hari, you're not going to become pure anymore. Acharei mosai od, and mosai od is a very difficult expression, which we'll see, but basically means when you've done something very, very much. After so long, Masai means when owed. It's two words which come together, which explain there's no hope for you to be purified after you've done something so great, so evil. The greatness of your evil has reached a point where you are beyond return. Let's take a look at this very slowly, because there's a lot going on in this pasuk, and then to the Stavet pasuk Chav Zayin, Ni'ufayich. First of all, Ni'ufayich, that's an easy word. That means Marbis Hani'uf, the abundance of adultery, Shebecha, the Haromas Kol Simcha, the raising forth of a voice of joy, Shel Kalos Roish, Shemachshava Zunusech, and the thoughts of you. Okay, now he's going on to the next part of the Pasuk. When it says in the Pasuk, Zimas, Zunusech, the word Zimas means the plans, the Machashavas. What? The thoughts of your zinu seich, of your adultery, Ritzon Elaymar, Hine kol eile adayin heim imcha v'lo azavtem, you're still guilty, you're still continuing to do these averos. So basically there are three expressions describing the avera of arayos. There is the ni'ufayich, that's number one, that's the actual action. The second term is umitz halosech, represents the simcha, the joy, the pleasure that you have in doing the avera. And the third expression means the plan. It's premeditated. It wasn't just an accident. I don't know how this happened to me. It just happened. I was intoxicated and it happened. No! This act of arayos was premeditated, zima zinusech. Then it goes on to say, I'll give a ospa sodeh, upon the hills in the field, I have seen your abominations. What is that? It means a new topic, a new sin is avodah zarah. Ho'akum kimitu'uv hasheketz, which is something which is disgusting, like a sheketz, like something that's disgusting. Lo'y tzitari, it's too late for you, Klal Yisrael. You have to go into Golis, you can no longer be purified. It's an alemar, incha ro'y tzalitar, you refuse to purify yourself, achrei shenitmeis, after you become contaminated. Ki koshul cholifresh min hachatumos, it's very difficult for you to depart from your sins. V'im toimri shetitar. And if you're going to tell me, here is his novel interpretation of the last few words of the pasuk, Acharei Mosayod. If you're going to say Shetitari, Adayin Amri Acharei Mosayod Titari, Vichi Achar Shetelech Begola. One more time, Vim Toimri. If you're going to say Shetitari, Adayin Amori Acharei. I don't know how to read this.
So, the pasuk,
acharei masayot. So, acharei means, my adayin amari, my words are.
I'm saying, acharei masayot titari, it's going to happen after.
When are you going to do it?
When are you going to do it? It's going to happen after you're in Golis already.
You want to do tshuva? It will be.
I'm going to end up doing it until later on.
Acharei, after, mosai od, what does mosai od mean? After at a later point in time, Masayod is nothing more than an expression. Is there a Mitzvah Stavit Tzion here on these words? No, he doesn't actually. No, he does. I'm sorry, he does. A Masay Inyan Hasheela Al Hazman. It's a borrowed term, and it refers to time. It's not to be taken literally. It's a borrowed expression. L'chein mosai tenachaneni, when? Mosai od, when will this event happen? So maybe a rhetorical question.
Yeah, it is a rhetorical question. When will you ever be purified?
When will you ever be purified? Not now. You'll be purified at a later point in Golis, but it's not going to happen now. You keep on telling me you're going to be purified right now. It's a lie. It's not going to happen now. It's only going to happen at a later point in time when you're in Golis.
Maybe it meant at one point that after you suffered your punishment of Korban, that you've now been cleansed, so to speak, like Srefa, so to speak. You know, but not so. I mean, I'm just thinking along those lines. I don't know.
Tshuva also has to come.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see Rash. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzudos. Okay, let's see Rashi. Rashi says, Mitzalosayech tzakitzala susim noafim. We had this before, like the roar of horses that noafim, which are having relations with one another. Achrei mosai titariot. When will you do tshuva? Rhetorical question, when will you purify yourself? Let's see the Radak Pasachov Zayin, the last Pasik. Nu'ufayich kvar perashnu ki kol inyan haniyuf humashul li'avoidas elilim. So he is interpreting the pasuk not in reference to Gili Arayus Mamish, but in reference to Avodah Zarah. U'mitzalosayich shayisa smecha al ma'asecha haro'im. This reminds me of the pshat that we learned last time. Tachas asher levat Hashem lokecha besimcha uvituv leivav meiroiv kol. That's the one of the harshest psukim in the Teichon in Parsh Kisavo. Is because you did not serve Hashem with simcha and with a good heart when Hashem gave you everything. And the Darshan and the Baalei Musar, they translate the pasuk homiletically, Tachas she'levavt Hashem Elokecha besimcha. Not only did you not serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you had joy in not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You were Rishoyim. Tachas she'levavt Hashem Elokecha besimcha uvituv leivav. That's serious business. And that's exactly what the commentators say in this pasuk. We really had it, but we had the same exact thing before, a few weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago, that ne'ufayich u'mitzhalosayich, you had joy. The sounds of joy came forth when you rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem concludes, lo sitari achare achara, lo sitari kama, achare mosayot. You're not going to become purified. I want to ask you a rhetorical question, Klai Yishol. When do you think it's going to happen? Lo titari achare shenitmes. You will not become purified after you have become tamei. V'im taimri she titari. If you're going to lie to me, you're going to say to me, no, Hashem, wait. Don't bring the korban. We're going to do tshuva. Hashem says, really? When are you going to do tshuva? When are you going to do tshuva? And 100 years from now, how long do you think, how much patience do I think I have for you? Mosai od, kevan shloi titari kaidem shetigli. Since you have not done tshuva until now, it's not going to happen, and it's not going to happen. V'yonasan tirgim lo titchon od, ke'an lech orchon yomin tzigi'in. Okay, I'm not sure what that means. Let's leave that for now. I just want to conclude over here with one last part from, he quotes in the article, a very powerful part. Lo titari acharei, because after you would say mosai od, your sins are so great that after you do your avera, you say, when can we do the avera again? In other words, there are different degrees of doing an avera. Most of the time, a person does an avera, he's just caught up. The yetzer hara gets the better of him. And he says, what can I do? I just can't control myself. So, and after you do the avera, you have charata. Rishoyim mole charata. Was it really worth it? It wasn't worth it. The food did not taste that good. It was not kedai to do the avera. But you, my people, have sunk to such a low level that after you do the avera, you say, it's delicious. Mosai od. When can I do the avera again? I can't wait to repeat the avera. So Hashem over here says, this is the holomic interpretation that we read the pasuk. Hashem says, lo sitari, you're beyond the point of hope, beyond repair. You're not going to become purified. You know why? You've reached the level where you relish in the avera. Acharei, after you've come to a point where you say to yourself, after doing the avera, mosai od, when can I do it again? that is a sign that you're beyond the point of return. There's nothing you can possibly do. Maybe Taka, we should just take a quick look at the Targum. Targum to see what the translation of this pasuk, since Rada quotes it. Unless I don't have my translation of the Targum here. It could be I don't have it here. So then we'll have to leave it for next time. Let me just see. Do I have it here? Nope, doesn't look like I have it. Okay, so we'll leave that Yirat Hashem for next time. Okay, we'll stop here.